My name is Moses Smith, enlisted here in general. They came to the high school, you know, and all the branches of service were there, and the uniform stuck out. United States Marine Corps, July 20, 1973. Got off the plane in San Diego. Marines standing there, uniform with the Stinson on, you know. All the people coming to MCRD, stand over here, real polite. And they said, get on this bus right here. And I don't know how many buses, I think we filled up about maybe three or four buses, but I don't know. But all I remember is getting on the bus, we drove aboard MCRD, San Diego, California, boot camp. And then, stuff hit the fan. Drill instructor stood up. I says, the last blankety-blank person off this blankety-blank bus will be mine. And guess what? I was the third man at the end. And I shoved, pushed. And I got off that bus and they said, stand on those yellow footprints. And oh boy, the fun began. And then October 17, 1973 at 9:48 a.m., I earned the title of United States Marine. That's when I graduated. Going through boot camp was, of course, back then was training for to go to Vietnam. They picked me out as a naive and like wimpy mentality, afraid to fight. They picked me out and they made me crazy, respectfully crazy. There's a good side and there's a bad side of me. And but it's all to the good. And that was, went through three phases of boot camp. The first 2 weeks was hectic. The first 3 mornings, I remember waking up laying on the floor. Why am I laying on the floor? Because regularly, 5 o'clock in the morning, you're supposed to be out of bed. Yeah, they don't be on the floor. And then the first 2 weeks, X amount of people try to commit suicide. But I have mentors before I joined the military. And one was, two people were in the United States Marine Corps, late Timothy Laterra and David Jenkins. We're Marines. We're still Marines till the day we die. So he says, do this, do that, yes sir, no sir, be in top physical shape. They didn't tell me, don't waste money on a haircut, because the first day, all your hair cut off. And then the third phase of boot camp, that's when we were all marching as one unit, thinking as one team. We never leave a man behind. We were so scored away. We were walked around with spit-shined boots, shiny brass, and we never wore our starch utilities more than every day. We wore fresh utilities. And at 9:48 on 17 October, Conley, Carr, and there's two more, but I can't remember. But Sergeant Carr is the one that made me a man. He, standing in line. I was holding my rifle, the M14. I had this grin. You know, kind of grinning. And Sergeant Carr grabbed the M14 out of my hand. You better get that blankety-blank smile off your face. He hit me to the ground with the butt of the M14 four times. I still wore that grin. Staff Sergeant Conley yelled out, what are you doing? And of course, got back to the barracks that night. This is my fellow Marines in boot camp. Says, Moses, how come you didn't get that grin off your face? I don't know. But to this day, there's a good side of me, and I've learned to control that. Of course, law enforcement, maintain some decorum. You got to control your temper. But that's me. In the military, there is some prejudice, but it didn't bother me. My mentors, before I went into the military, I was an Alaska student, state trooper, cadet, and my mentors were Jenkins and Laterra. You're somewhat educated, Moses. They'll call you this, they'll call you that. There is prejudice out there, but accept it. And just because you are native, we call us native, you are expected to be more assertive, be more prompt to, be more knowledgeable. When I wore the uniform as a Marine, of course, from boot camp, and of course, as a military policeman, that's where the prejudice come out. Why are a native carrying a gun? Stuff like that. But it didn't let me bother because my mentor says, don't worry about the small stuff. Just focus on what you want to do and accept it. Used to play cops and robbers, and then made our own toys, and then go out and play war. And of course, the men that lived in Hunan went to Vietnam, that really helped them. And of course, I left Hunan in 1964, 63, after my grandparents drowned. I moved here, commercial fishing. I was raised by my uncle, Al Martin. In the Tlingit way, I was raised by my uncle. He taught me how to be a fisherman. And it taught me how to do a lot of stuff, like uncle. And it taught me how to do all kinds of stuff. We used to rifle, hunt, sharpen a knife to do cleaning fish. But mainly, he taught me how to be a better man. I didn't grow up overnight. You know, I'm 66, no, 65 going on, whatever, and I'm still learning. They call it the Vietnam era. When I graduated from boot camp, I went to a military police school at Fort Gordon, Georgia. There's another man that went to boot camp with me and MP school. His name was Sergeant David Bowen. We graduated from MP school. And then I got stationed at Camp Pendleton, and I forgot where he went. Was it October of 1975? I got sent overseas, 1975. Of course, May of 1975 was it the fall of? I got, and then Sergeant Bowen was on the last helicopter that left the American Embassy. And of course, I got my orders to go overseas to Okinawa. I replaced him. So that's it. Camp Pendleton and Okinawa. We left Travis Air Force Base on Flying Tiger. The plane was all full of all Marines. We landed in Yokota for fuel, and then we landed in Okinawa in our winter greens. The opener door, and oh, the humidity struck us. And of course, they taught us to adapt, persevere, and overcome, adapt to the weather. Military policeman, United States Marine Corps. And then when I went to military police school at Fort Gordon, Georgia, I was selected to protect Nixon when he was president. And then I got stationed at Camp Pendleton. That's, the Western White House, San Clemente. August 23rd, 1975, at 1300 hours, I went to see the three-star general, Paul G. Graham. But leading up to that, if I might say, I totally forgot about they're doing an investigation on me. And we stayed in the barracks. I was going to the shower, and I noticed three well-dressed men pass me. Thought nothing of it. Went down for formation. Gunner Sergeant Rowan says, Moses, what did you do in San Diego over the weekend? Nothing, Gunny. Nothing. I went to visit my auntie. Well, it's not according to what the three men said. Gunny, nothing happened. Okay, we'll drop it. And then a month later, Lieutenant David Smith, report to the colonel right now. Our company commander, Colonel John Cahill. Colonel, what did I do? Gunny asked me this. Three men, well-dressed. Colonel says, Moses, what did you do? Colonel, I did nothing. And he says, Moses, or Lance Corporal Smith, report to the base headquarters, August 23rd at 1 p.m. or 1300 hours of 1975, you all be squared away. I walked in there, and looking at the three stars on Paul Graham's shirt, I says, Marine, you better unlock your knees, otherwise you're going to faint. You look nervous. Sir, what did I do? Yeah, here's your presidential orders assigning me to protect Nixon. Yeah. I went back there, and of course, being an MP, we're a close net team. We went on first name basis, but out in the public, we respected the rank. I says, Colonel, thanks a lot, sir. Gunny. That was, I remember the, you know, so I remember the dates and times. And of course, Nixon resigned. When General Paul Graham handed me my presidential orders, it was all clear. When my people were joking and everything, and what did I do anything in San Diego? But I found out it was just a joke. My career in law enforcement started when I was a teenager here in Juneau, protect and serve, being a military policeman, of course. With the unit I was assigned to, I had to be super squared away. I never wore a uniform, fresh uniform every day, haircut every week. My most memorable times, I was a military policeman working special enforcement. I worked radar, and his car stopped me. Oh, that, because on the bumper had a blue decal, which means officer. He stopped me. Marine, my wife is having a baby. Take me to the hospital. So I got on the radio. Of course, the dispatcher says, I got permission to use license siren. So I took him to the place where they had the baby, and the officer gave me a accommodation. Stuff like that. Yeah, the colonel says, good job, Marine. Major Roger Courtney rode around with me when I was an MP. Well, Moses, your military code of justice, your professionalism is at a high standard. Moses, what do you plan to do when you get out of the... Are you gonna leave us? Sorry to say, Major, my heart is back home. And then as an MP, there was some time where this car, before any car came aboard the base, they had to have a decal. If not, we had to check their ID and everything. So this black Chevrolet pickup pulled up, they had no decal. Sir, I need to see your ID card, driver's license, registration. And he took off, me hanging on to the door as an MP at the Camp Del Mar Gate area, I guess 41 at Camp Pendleton. I finally let go, and there was an officer at the gate. We got my composure back. I ran to the shack. There's a code I use. I'm in trouble. I need help. And the officer at the gate says, are you going to let me on? Are you going to salute me? Get the blankety blank out of here. I said, you can't talk to me like that. Well, where were you when I needed help? And of course, help showed up. 6 months later, the gunny says, hey, you find this guy who, you recognize this guy, let us know. To this day, black Chevrolet pickup. To this day, I still remember his face, what he looks like. The colonel says, how come you didn't shoot him? Oh, I was being drugged down the road. And like 6 months later, I was working special enforcement radar. And then there's that black Chevrolet pickup. There's the driver. I got our radio. So it was all planned. So, of course, he came aboard Camp Pendleton at Main Gate. We're going down the Main Gate to Main Side is like, what, 6 miles? So all these cars, about three other MP cars, and a criminal investigation. Moses stopped the car. Walk up to the guy, and of course, Moses, do you identify this guy? He's the guy that drugged me down the highway. That's the last time I saw him. When I was going overseas, we stopped off in Anchorage at 3:30 in the morning. I better call mom and dad. I'll call the operator. I'd like to make a collect call to my parents, Al or Margaret Martin, at 907-586-3085. Collect phone call. They answer the phone. Is everything okay? Because why is our boy calling us at 3:30 in the morning? I says, well, I'm on my way overseas. Just wanted to call, let you know I'm heading overseas. When I was overseas, I wrote letters. And then 5 more days, I'm back to America. I came. I got stationed back at Camp Pendleton. I was a photographer, and that followed me through my law enforcement career. And even to this day, I still have the same camera at home. I ran a lot. Every place, even when I was home here going to high school, I ran everywhere. Go here, go there, I ran. Being a military policeman, and of course law enforcement, you had to be in top physical shape. And of course, with the White House detail. He had to be at peak top physical shape. He had to master the weapon of the 45 and the M14. And he taught us some other stuff too. I came home, and of course my uncle, he was a commercial fisherman. So I went out fishing. I didn't find out till, with all respects, when my uncle passed away, that he was a United States Marine. He got drafted, but the Army MPs came to Marines and took him away. But that's not the issue. But when we were out fishing or at home, he liked it when he turned on the lights. I jumped out of bed. He liked that, you know. And then, of course, at the funeral service, it came out that he was a Marine. And said, ah, that's why he liked playing games with me. Turned the light on, watched me jump out of bed. And at Camp Pendleton, July 19, 1977, at 8 a.m. or 0800. I have a late aunt that lived in Southern California. I drove, of course, I had a car then. I drove and spent, a week with her. And then I started my venture home. And then something happened in the military as an MP. I was driving home, and I started to drive from San Diego, not to Seattle. So I was on the highway. And then I noticed, of course, being a policeman, I learned to observe things, you know, and highway patrol follow me. Oh, okay, that's cool. I get into Oregon, the Oregon State Patrol. Okay, I didn't do anything. And driving through Canada, RCMP checked me out. Oh, okay. I boarded the Matanuska State Ferry at Prince Rupert. All right, I'm getting closer to home. August of 1977. We got to Petersburg, and the purser said, would Moses Smith please report to the purser's office? What's going on? Highway Patrol, Oregon, RCMP. What's going on? The purser said, oh, nothing. And then we tied up at Auk Bay. I was getting my truck. Top of the ramp, there's Al Baskerville, FBI. Ah, something, I made arrest in the military, and it took me like a month and a half to come home. I was back in San Diego the next day. But I just took my time. I stopped off in Seattle to see my sister and other family, just enjoying my freedom as a civilian. I came home, and then, of course, I started my law enforcement career with the public safety. I was watching football the other day, the playoffs, or leading up to the Super Bowl, whatever. Villanueva, I says, is that Jerry's son playing football? And of course, after he left the military, we lost contact. But in the military, we're a very close-knit group as MPs. You know, there's a bond that we protect each other, watch each other's back, you know. I joined the military to get my discipline, and I've had to go to war. Yeah, they trained me in boot camp to go to war as a Marine. If I had to go to war, I was ready to go to war. I had no feelings against it. When I was in Okinawa, Japan, at 2:30, the lights turned on. The garbage can hit the floor. I forget the man's name. Oh, Staff Sergeant, I forget his last name, but this is, we're going to war. All base personnel, help the division. Division people report downstairs in 10 minutes with your combat gear. Base personnel, which I was, helped him pack his clothes and stuff. And that was when two Army officers were killed at DMZ in South Korea. So I said, all right, I'm going to war. I didn't know what until I found out about the men who were killed in the DMZ. But we walked around, as I was base MP, we walked around with dressed in our military stuff to go to war. Helmet, flight jacket, rifle, pistol. We drove around in a B call, what they call a deuce and a half. Trained me in boot camp. If you got to go to war, you got to. I accepted it. And that was a shocker when they woke me up in Okinawa. He says, oh, what's going on? And we're back in boot camp again? I says, oh, everybody, you know, because we're not back in boot camp. Oh, no, we're not back in boot camp. Downtown, there's a memorial. Congressional Medal of Honor recipient down there in front of the Mount Roberts tram. When I was going through boot camp, MCRD. He was the regimental commander, colonel. And then when I went to Camp Pendleton, I was checked in December 21st, 1973 at 5 o'clock, 1700 hours. Private Smith, reporting as ordered, sir. Is that your family? Yeah. Run out to get them, tell them to come back. They report back to me. So I ran down, come back, come back, come back. I don't know why. I went back in there. The colonel says, report back at, I forget the date. I forget what, like 1st of January or 2nd of January. I says, but, you already forget what your military bearing. You can't, I am the colonel. Yes, sir. I says, Private, enjoy your time with your auntie. Come back the 2nd of January. And then I went to Okinawa, Japan. The colonel was there. To this day, I can't remember his name. But trust me, after we talked today, I will go down and get his name. Our staff sergeant who was in charge of us was the drill instructor in boot camp. And they were having, if you're familiar with the IG inspection, inspecting general inspection, there's a group of people who go around and inspect everybody. The colonel says, of course, he was in charge of a regimental in San Diego, California, where I went to boot camp. He says, I want you guys to practice marching. We practiced marching every other day for 4 months, rain or shine. The colonel says, when the inspecting general comes there, I want you guys to make me proud. You make me proud, we will have a big barbecue. We're out there marching with our M14 squared away. When we finished marching, we got a perfect score. And then, of course, I got pictures at home in my album, the barbecue. The colonel says, you make me look good, we will have a barbecue. And to this day, I should know his name. Trust me, after I get through today, which from here I will go down and visit him, because he helped mold my career in the military. And like, he was here, he was there. Every duty station I went, he was there with me. And of course, he was born and raised in Ketchikan. And there's a marble plaque downtown in front of the tram. When I came home, I worked for a unit that was called Building Security. One of the five divisions of the Alaska State Troopers. I went to the police academy. I came back here, worked for the state. Governor Bill Sheffield was up in the conference room up on the fifth floor of the Capitol building, sitting there talking with the late Senator Bill Ray. Of course, I was in my uniform, and the governor called me over and says, Mr. Smith, come here. Yes, sir. You understand when you're in the United States Marine Corps, you protect Nixon when he's president. I get the clearance to protect him, but he resigned. But that's Moses, will you take a bullet for me? Yes, sir. Because with that unit, I was taught a different way if I had to take a bullet for the president. There's a lot of stuff this first time I'm gloating, sitting here talking to you, bragging about things that I held, I cherished to myself. Many years. It's the first time I'm telling somebody what I did. And I haven't told my parents. And then as a policeman, I was a policeman in Huna Police Department. I went out on a car accident out in the logging road. And a car rolled over. And there was a kid in there. Pulled him out. And he was in shock. I gave him my coat. And he thanked me after. He says, hey, Moses, thank you for finding me. Oh, can I keep your coat? No. But it highlights my career as a policeman. And then, of course, there's things as a policeman in the military and Huna Police Department. Things happen to me going on domestic calls, bar calls, and, of course, people who have expired, who have died. So, to make a long story short, I seek help. I saw a psychiatrist for 5 years. I wish I went to see the psychiatrist longer, earlier. And see, nobody, I hear him telling you everything to my life, but like I seek help, made a better person out of me. I've learned how to handle things. And then every time I see a lights and siren, flashback, you know. I'm a bus driver for the city. I work for the city of Burrow Juneau. I'm a bus driver for the city. And I see police cars going by, lights and siren, flashback memories. Of course, I was a policeman too, you know. And of course, there's a man from Hunter, Howard Starboard, Alaska State Trooper. I won't mention any names without out of respect. I went on a family domestic, and the dispatcher, I can hear her talking, but I was concentrating. I was getting beat up pretty bad. And the mom and the kids were standing there, and I can hear the dispatcher talking. And then, like, what, 8 or 10 minutes later, Trooper Starboard pounding on the door. Either you open this door now or I'll bust it down. Of course, please do not, your daughter. In fact, Howard's daughter works there. When I'm driving the bus, you know, things happen on the bus. It's all small stuff. I've been to gun calls, this and that. I don't brag about it, but I drive bus for the city. I know how to handle situations. Wow, I'm 65 and something. I'm glad I talked to you. First time I've said things, even my parents don't know.